Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going through the book of 2 Kings with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through 2 Kings chapter 16, where we will see that our lives can become hectic and filled with busyness, but we need to always keep in mind that we are only passing through. This world is not our final resting place, so we need to keep a light touch as we live for the Lord here on this earth. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 2 Kings chapter 16.
Man, what a word though. I mean, you should never have a priest, a pastor, who cares more about what the world thinks is right versus what God thinks is right. And I'm not preaching that for, you know, self-purposes. I'm preaching what's in front of me. You should never sit under a man who's more concerned with being appealing and pleasing to the world than the Lord. The man behind the pulpit's greatest fear should be God and making sure that he is God's mouthpiece. Not pleasing the crowd or tickling ears or making Democrat and Chronicle happy or USA Today or anything else. It should be simply, Jesus, what do you want this congregation to hear? We've got 45 minutes, God. What do you want to hear in those 45 minutes? Let's do it. And King Ahaz, he cut off the borders, verse 17, of the bases. And he removed the laver. That's where the water was for the priests. They'd wash their hands after the sacrifices. He's removing what he doesn't like. He's getting rid of this, getting rid of that. Let's, you know, remove the laver, the bases. Those were the lavers that were lowered down for the priest to get in to wash. He took down the sea from of the brazen oxen that were under it. He put it upon a pavement of stones. I'm sorry, I can't help the sea that preaches this text. The washing of the water of the word, he's removing that. These places of washing for the priests, the washing of the water of the word. How can a young man cleanse his way? Your word, O God, the psalmist says. Your word is truth. And it washes and it cleanses us. And here, discreetly, as he's making these offerings, as he's making these sacrifices, as to the naked eye, he's conducting a worship service. He's removing subtly the word of God. We are a very dangerous people outside of the governing of the word of God. We so desperately need to be washed in the water of the word. Peter, I've got to wash your feet. Peter says, no, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. This is backwards. This is wrong. This is not right. No, Peter, you don't understand. If I don't wash your feet, you could have no part with me. Peter says, well, if that be the case, then wash my whole body. Give me a bath from head to toe. Jesus, Peter, that's not necessary. You've already been washed. Or in other words, you've already been saved. You've already been cleansed in entirety, but your feet get dirty. Your walk gets dirty as you just tread through this life, this world, this earth, this ball of dirt. And in the process, time to time, day to day, I've got to wash you afresh. I've got to cleanse you afresh. And that's the same message for all of us. Midweek, we come here for what? The washing of the water of the word. We don't even realize just, you know, the commercials that we see, the sitcoms that we watch, the music that we let in, the conversations that we have. We don't even realize how those things dull us and dim us and just stifle the fire that Jesus wants to be bright and to shine within us. We don't even realize it so many of times till we come to the house of the Lord. And it's like there's this huddle that takes place, this sobriety that occurs. And Jesus is able to remind us once again, hey, keep your eyes and your affections upon me. Be cleansed, be washed, be encouraged, be stirred, be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit of God. You're leaking. You're lacking. You need more of Jesus. Put your feet up, let Jesus wash your feet. The water of the word. There's nothing to replace the word with. if we stop doing this, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, I know you guys know these things or else you wouldn't be here, but I gotta reinforce it because I need it in my own life. So if I need it, I gotta believe that you guys need it too. And I'm not saying that condescendingly or demeaningly. At least I hope you don't take it that way. I'm not saying like if I need it, you need it too. I'm saying it sincerely. There is the temptation so many times, God, can we do something different? No, we can't. What else do we do besides move through the Word of God? What are we going to do if we close this book? What have we come for if that's what we do? At least in this church, we are not clever enough as a leadership to entertain you guys for an hour long on Wednesday evening. We don't have that artistic ability. We've got nothing going on that could really make you fascinated that long. But I think sometimes too, personally, in your devotion lives, we get tired of going through the Word sometimes. I don't know if I'm preaching to anybody, but I think that I probably am. Lord, I could really use those extra 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes of sleep. And there's no condemnation. You do it one day, but the problem is you like it. And then the propensity, the temptation for that to be a thing of propensity to keep happening in your life, that's the thing you really got to fight. Because that 30 minutes, that 20 minutes, whatever it would be of extra sleep and not getting up and getting in the Word of God, it will destroy you. Or you're reading through the Word of God and you're falling asleep and there could be the temptation of, oh, well, Lord, I'm not even getting anything anyways. I can't stay awake, so I'm just going to close the Bible and just pray for a few minutes. And then the next thing you know, you're passed out. You're zonked out. There's a fight that has to be fought within every believer to stay in the Word of God. The devotionals, the podcasts, they're all good things, but they're not the main thing. They're supplements at best. This is the main thing, the Word of God. And it will keep you. It will keep you fashioned as a Christian the way that Jesus wants you to be. It will keep you on the straight and narrow. You'll be directed. Hey, if you're here tonight, you're wondering, what is the will of God for my life? Get in the Word of God. You'll be directed. You'll never be walking through life aimlessly, purposelessly. If you're in the Word of God, you'll always have direction. There might be pauses. There might be periods in your life where Jesus has you just hanging out for a minute. He's working kinks out and things out in your life. But you're never going to be like so much of the world is or so much of the church is. He's going to guide you. He's going to direct you. When something creeps into your life that is sinful, he's going to convict you of it. So he's going to keep you holy. When you get discouraged and down in the dumps, he's going to edify you. He's going to encourage you. He's going to just constantly give you your daily feeding, what you need. He's going to keep you from becoming malnourished. If you need more protein, he's going to give you protein. If you need more carbs, he's going to give you carbs. He's going to give you a detail, a specificity, purposefully just for you. It's going to be unlike anyone else's. Where you are in the Word of God, you're going to wake up and you're going to read and you're going to think, how did this happen? How did I get here? God ordained it in his sovereignty. And there's going to become a confidence in your walk with Jesus. You're going to be able to stand strong. I know that I'm doing in my life right now what God wants me to do over and over in his Word. He's confirmed me. Don't you long for that type of relationship with the Lord? Before I had it and I was walking in it, I longed for it. I'd be around other Christians who had it, and there was such a confidence in every decision they made, or most decisions they made. There was such a stability. I love stable people in general. I love crazy people, so don't get me wrong, but I love people who know who they are, people who have a conviction. They don't waver. I mean, not a position. Positions are likely to change for anybody, but a conviction. This is who I am, even if I think you're the biggest goofball in the world. Even if I think you're crazy for being that, I respect people who know who they are and stay put there. And I've always looked at other Christians and thought, man, stable Christians, people who just knew that they were the Lord's and that the Lord was theirs, and they just walk with Jesus. Not perfect, but they walk with Jesus. I was always envious of that. And I still look at people around me that are that way, and I think, I want to be that way forever till Jesus calls me home. There's no way to do it apart from the Word of God. You've got to have a sound devotional life. You've got to rise. And like Spurgeon say, Lord, let me not see the face of man till I first have seen your face. You nighttime devotion people, you lunch break devotion people, there's no condemnation. I'm not a legalist. You can do it whenever you want to do it. That's fine. For me, though, if I don't do it in the morning, I am you don't want to hang out with me that day. For me, if I don't start my day with the Lord, it's bad. It's just so much better that I meet with the Lord first and let him get a hold of my heart, settle my anxieties, my hype, get me sort of in the flow of how he wants me to be for that day at the onset. And honestly, too, I get so busy, and I'm sure you're the same way, that I'm not sure I'm going to come back to it if I don't do it first thing. The scripture says that those who seek him early will find him. Please don't seek to begin to remove the labors of the word of God in your life. Please don't get like Ahaz. If we can pull anything from Ahaz's life, well, there are many things in the negative, but perhaps this is the biggest one. Don't diminish and dismiss the washing of the water of the word. Give it place. Don't despise it. Don't call it outdated. It is alive and it is powerful. It's majestic. I would suggest to you tonight that whatever your need is, the Word of God can meet it. Whatever you need tonight, whatever portion you're looking for tonight, the Word of God can meet that need. And you will read things, and you will think, what in the world did I just read? And you will read things, and you will think, I have to read this again, and again, and again. And your devotions one day might be just one verse. And that's okay. There's no race, there's no hurry. It's just getting from Jesus what he has for you. It will change your life. There's so much power in the Word of God. This man Ahaz, he takes the labors. Let's finish this chapter and close. He takes the labors. He takes the places of washing. He removes them. He takes the covert in verse 18. That's like a canopy for the Sabbath that they had built in the house. And it says, the king's entry without, he turned it from the house of the Lord. For the king of Syria, he gives the preeminence to this pagan king. Now, the rest of the acts of Ahaz, verse 19, which he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And the answer is yes, and in greater detail. We'll go there when we get there. Now, it says Ahaz slept with his fathers, verse 20. He was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his stead. And God willing, we'll look at him, perhaps, next week. You could bookmark your Bible there as we ready ourselves to close. What's amazing about Hezekiah is he stops the bleeding. What's amazing about Hezekiah is he has such a wicked, evil dad, and he is such a great, outstanding, godly king. And the Lord is so gracious because Ahaz, as we start our study tonight, he offered up, he sacrificed his sons, his children. But God in his sovereignty, he put a hedge of protection upon Hezekiah so that his life would be preserved and he would take the throne of his father. Isn't that amazing? I mean, God is always superseding events. He is always sovereign in every area of your life. We can close with this thought tonight. It's a really good one. Right? I mean, all these kids are getting killed of Ahaz. He is senseless in his offering to Molech. He's on a rampage, if you would, in doing these things. But by the grace of God, Hezekiah's life is preserved. Isn't that amazing to you? And there was a walk with the Lord that he had. He's going to bring revival to Israel. That blows me away. He had no upbringing in the ways of the Lord by Ahaz. But he had a grandfather who loved the Lord. He had the words of Isaiah, the prophets all around him, and he heeded them. And in that sense, he was his own man. And in that sense, you can be your own man or woman too here tonight. There is no generational curse that Jesus can't break. You don't have to leave here with an excuse and I think, well, that was wonderful for them, but that's not the case for me. You don't have to have an upbringing in the Lord to be used by the Lord. You don't have to have some godly heritage or some Billy Graham type family where everybody's saved. Everybody knows the Lord. I mean, the Billy sister, everybody's living long lives. We don't all come from that. My parents were first generational Christians. They were raised as most Italians are raised, as Catholics. And by that, I mean they'd go to church on Christmas and Easter, if that, you know. I mean, that's the way they were raised. And Jesus stepped into their lives and saved them in their 20s. My parents raised us in the ways of the Lord. We're second generation. Now our kids are third generational. I'm not seeing much of an improvement yet, but nonetheless, they're third generational. And by the grace of God, their children will be Christians. And my children, and my brother's children, and my other brother's children, my sister's children, they will take what we have been entrusted with, this ministry of Jesus tarries, and they'll keep it moving. They'll keep it going. And hopefully, by the grace of God, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. But it doesn't always work that way. We see the pagan kings having godly sons. We see the godly kings having pagan sons. In other words, every man is his own man. Every woman is his own woman. And we all get to choose who we're going to serve. But you have the ability tonight to say, Jesus, I'm going to serve you. Regardless of what my mom's doing, regardless of what my dad's doing, regardless of what my siblings are doing, my family does, Jesus, I'm going to serve you. And I'm going to stop the bleeding. I'm going to be a Band-Aid to my family, to my workplace, to my neighborhood, to Rochester. Lord, I know that I can't do everything, but I can do something. And even if I'm the minority here, God, me and you, that's the majority really anyways. So Lord, here I am. And the Bible is full of people that are unlikely and unqualified by man's standards. The Bible is full of those type of people to become the man of the hour, the woman of the hour. God raises those people up. Rahab's a harlot on the wall of Jericho that's about to go down. I mean, it's amazing. God calls a whore. That's modern day talking. He calls a whore a prostitute, and he puts her in the lineage of Jesus Christ. The people that God calls. John the Baptist, the greatest prophet born among women, not a pastor with his hair parted, with his shirt tucked in, he's driving a nice, you know, Prius to seminary school. But rather a guy with a bandana on, tattoos, a straggly beard with honey and grasshoppers mixed in there, driving a Harley. I mean, that's the guy that Jesus calls. And we laugh at it because we relate to it. And God just says, I'm just looking for a man. I'm just looking for a woman who will stop the bleeding. Next week, we're going to see that America parallels Israel's demise. We're going to see that next week in chapter 17. It's a very rich chapter. And Hezekiah comes on the scene, and he says, I'm not going to go with the flow. I'm not going to copy what everybody else is doing and has done up to this point. I'm going to be used by the Lord for however long he gives me. Listen, if you're here tonight, Daniel and the team, they're going to come. Can I ask you something, please? Instead of getting on Facebook and Twitter and all these other media outlets and trashing our president and talking about how despicable America is and how saddened you are by all the gun shootings and the murders and the rape and the abortions, instead of going all these kicks, can you do something different for me tonight? If your heart is knit with mine, can you rather do this and say, God, make me a Hezekiah? I just want to be a person, an individual who is used by you to stop the bleeding. I don't want to talk about the bleeding. I don't want to obsess over the bleeding. We don't see Hezekiah in the weeks to come go on a rant about how wicked his father was. He just undoes in his own life what his dad had done. How about we just start doing that as the bride of Christ, instead of being so negative and nitpicking and trashing political figures and leaders who are not pastors? How about we just say, Jesus, I'm not much, but what I am, I give to you. And I want to be a man. I want to be a woman of your word. I want to give place to that in my life. I want to give availability to you. And I just want to say, Jesus, do what you want to do with me. To infiltrate my circle of life, God, with your goodness, with your grace, with your mercy. Hey, if that's you, if you say, I want to be a Hezekiah, would you just, as we're ready to worship, would you just stand? Don't feel like you have to. And if your heart's not stirred, please don't. Don't make mockery of this. But if somehow 2 Kings 16 bit you tonight, and you've been somebody who's been so burdened for the culture, burdened for the nation, and you say, yeah, I want to be used to bring hope, comfort, healing, love. I want to be used to share the goodness of God. I don't want to be caught up in the mix of all of it. I want to stand outside of it and extend grace. Grace received is grace extended. I want to extend grace. That's what I want to in my school, on my campus, in my workplace, if you feel like, yeah, that I want this. I'm not where I need to be to get there, but I want this. Would you just stand? I want to pray for the Holy Spirit to fall on you. If that's you, please don't do it because everybody else is. Do it because you want to do it. Do it because there's a stirring. Don't worry if people around you are not doing it or people around you are doing it. You do it because you want to do it. You want to say, Jesus, here I am. Make me a Hezekiah. Use me, Lord. God, we stand to you tonight. Those who are standing, we stand to you. And Lord, I feel like the boy who had a few loaves and a few fishes. Not much to offer. But Lord, what I have, what we have, we give to you tonight. In all of our brokenness, in all of our bentness, in all of our weariness, in all of our drama, in all of our pain, in all of our sins, in all of our troubles, God, I stand, we stand to you tonight. And all gracious and all merciful, almighty God, who takes broken things, breaks them, blesses them, and multiplies them in ways that only you can. So I ask tonight, Lord, that this number of those standing and myself, Jesus, that you would do that with, that we would be Hezekiah-ish, that we would be a people, God, that you raise up in these last days to bring healing, to bring comfort, to bring hope to our sisters, to our brothers, to our fathers, to our mothers, to our grandparents, our aunts, our uncles, our grandchildren, our children, our community, our workplace, our schools, to the United States of America, and wherever else you seek to send us, God, that we would be used to stop the bleeding, that we would be used to induce revival, Jesus, that you would smile down from heaven tonight upon this small group of your sons and your daughters who want something more, who want something otherworldly, who want something greater, who want to be a part of building your kingdom. And so we love you, God. We thank you that it's by your grace and it's by your mercy, not our merits, that you accept us and you take us and you use us. Fill us with your Spirit, we ask. It's not by our might, it's not by our power, but it's simply by your Spirit. Fill us, Lord. Fill us afresh.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.